got a message that I want to finish up this month's series with. And, we're talking all about the kingdom of God. I'm going to carry that theme throughout the next couple of months too as well, because the kingdom of God is not something you can talk about even in one message, even in a whole. You could talk about it all year and keep on going. But it's so powerful, so important, such a relevant message for us to hear today. And so, are you ready to hear the word of God today? Okay, bow your heads. Let's commit this time to God. Father, I thank you for your presence here. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your word and your spirit coming together to join forces. I thank you the worship presence of God here. You plowed our hearts. Our hearts are open to receive, Lord, the seed of your word. Let it be planted deep in our soul and let it bear fruit. We hear it, Lord, with the ears wide open of your spirit, Lord, today. And Lord, our feet and our hands are ready to apply it and to live it out for our benefit and especially for your glory. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen. Your kingdom come. We're talking about this month. My message is going to be about priorities. Now, last week, do you remember what I talked about last week? Last week I talked about being kingdom-minded. Being kingdom-minded is being truth-minded. The power of the kingdom is in its truth. It's in the word of God. And I said last week, either you are being transformed by God's truth, by kingdom truth, or you're being conformed to the patterns of this world. And if that's the case, you're going to end up with the same thoughts, desires, goals, and also with the same struggles, with the same issues, and with the same fears. The kingdom of darkness, where does it get its power from? It gets its power through lies and deception. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of darkness gains its power through the lies and deceptions of the enemy. And the kingdom of darkness gets its power, it gains its power, it takes hold of our lives through the continual revelation of God's truth in our hearts and our minds. Amen? See, we overcome, you gain power, you overcome in this life by the continual revelation and application of God's powerful word in your life. You will never be an overcomer if you don't have the powerful word of God operating in your life. Amen? My message today is entitled, Your Highest Priority. Your Highest Priority. Matthew chapter 6, 33. Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, a right relationship with God. And all these things will be added unto you. I like the New English Translation, which says it this way, where Jesus said, but above all, pursue his kingdom and righteousness. Above all, pursue his kingdom and righteousness. Now, when you read these words of Jesus, immediately you know what he's talking about. He's talking about priority, right? You know, when we first came into church, the church, you know, the leaders would tell us, these are the priorities you need to have in your life. And, you know, this was a list of priorities. God first, family second, church, and then job, and then ministry. But, you know, I want to tell you, the kingdom of God is not a task list. It's not a checklist list where Jesus is at the top of the list. But rather, the kingdom of God is about having the kingdom integrated into every one of these things on the list, into every area of our life. Do we get it? Say with me, your kingdom come. To say it again, your kingdom come. Jesus was being questioned just after he got arrested by the Roman governor, Pilate. And at one point in his conversation with Pilate, Pilate asked him, well, what is truth anyway? What is truth? John 18:36, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. My kingdom is from another place. And the very reason I am here, because I am a king, representing a kingdom, and I'm bringing the kingdom of God's truth to this earth. We said last week, the kingdom of God has come, is already come. Do you agree with that? When did it come? It came when Jesus came. John the Baptist announced it. The kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is coming. What he was really saying, the king is coming. The king is coming. And he's bringing a kingdom with him, right? So he said, the kingdom of God has come. But it's, guess what? It's still coming. It's still coming, and it's coming on strong. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, what does he tell us to pray? Pray, your kingdom come, right? Your will be done. He says, keep on praying that the kingdom comes, and the kingdom will keep on coming on and keeping on coming on strong. How's it going to come? It's going to come through people, but not just any people, a people who are kingdom-minded, a people who are willing to serve the king and his kingdom. That's how it's going to come. Say with me, I have a purpose. Now say this, God has a plan for my life. Point number one, you have a purpose. God's plan for your life is this, to live in his kingdom and to advance his kingdom. To live in his kingdom and to advance his kingdom. This is the very core essence of your existence on this earth. You would not be here for any other reason at this point in time. God would have taken you right up to heaven, but he left you here because he left you here to live in this kingdom and to advance his kingdom on this earth. I could quit talking right now. You are here on purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose. You are here right now on earth because God ordained it. This very moment, you are here. God never intended that we just live out our days on our own apart from his presence, from his power, and from his purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says he creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, the work we had better be doing. Did you ever boss say that to your boss? You had a job, says, you better be doing the work. You better be working. We live in a culture that says we should not, you know, we shouldn't be working too hard. Or you got to be careful about how much you put yourself out for your employer or how much you serve. You know, we have a culture that says don't work too hard. There's a fear of working too hard. You know, I looked at the Bible, and I've read the Bible several times over the 30 years I've been a Christian, and you know, and I found that there's very few places where the Bible ever says don't work too hard. You know, actually, there's only one place that really stands out in my mind where the Bible says don't work too hard. You know where it is? It's in Proverbs, where it says don't wear yourself out becoming rich. Find me another scripture. You know, actually, there's one more in Galatians where it says do not become weary in doing good. Do good to everyone, especially to those in the house of God. But it never says don't overwork yourself. Because, you know, because the natural tendency of people is to not want to work too hard. Right. Maybe not all of us, but a lot of us. There are times and there are seasons in your life when you're going to have to work hard for God, when you're going to have to make sacrifices to serve the king. And we're going to have to just, you know, extend yourself. And I've experienced a season like that in our life. You know, in Acts chapter 14:22, the apostles were meeting, I think, with some people in Ephesus, and the disciples said to the people, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of heaven. Many hardships. It's not easy being a Christian. It's going to be hard sometimes. There are expectations on our life, but listen, God gives us the power and ability to do them. Amen? You know, I've read stories of women and men of old serving Jesus passionately, tirelessly, reaching villages for Jesus, reaching nations, literally changing continents, preaching the gospel, loving people, caring for people because God cares for them. You know, and they were energized by the Holy Spirit. And when they died, their life, they knew their life was well spent. There's a scripture in the book of Acts. I think maybe it was Acts chapter 17 or 14, where it says David, talks about King David. It says David served God's purposes in his generations. And you know what happened next? And then he fell asleep. You could almost see him, old with age and gray, but this big smile on his face as he passed away to be with the Lord. And then waking up on the other side of eternity, ready for the rewards of God. He spent his life. He spent and he used his life for the purposes of God. Serving in the kingdom is all about, I like my friend Jeff Pacina in the Philippines. He says, we got to work while there's still light of day. And the Bible tells us, the night has almost come, the day is almost here. We're to be working in the kingdom. We're to be serving in the kingdom. Serving in the kingdom is all about this. You know what it is? It's about loving God. It's not about loving people first. It's really about loving God first. And it's about loving people. Because when you love God, you end up loving people. Right? God's, you know, didn't Jesus say that? Listen, if you serve me, you're actually serving people. If you do something good for me, if you visit me in prison, if you visit someone in prison, you're actually visiting me. Serving in the kingdom is all about loving God by loving people, helping people, and sharing the gospel message of God's hope and love to them. Amen? It's about joining with other people, with God's people, to serve one another and to honor one another. That's what it's all about. And it's being willing to get your hands dirty. Some people want to be leaders. They want to tell people what to do. They just want to administrate the job. But you know what Jesus said? If you want to be a leader, you get down on your knees and you serve. That's what leadership is all about. We've got this distorted North American concept of what a leader is all about. I want to be a leader. I want to tell people what to do. I want to gain a name and significance. Jesus said, oh, that's great. You want to be. Jesus never rebuked his disciples for wanting to be great. He says, you want to be great? Great. That's good. Then be a servant. Be a servant to all. He says, the rulers of the Gentile lord it over them. They tell them what to do, but not so you. Is anybody, if you want to be great, then you must be a slave and serve people. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's the way you serve. That's the way you become a great leader. You know, as a pastor, people say, oh, well, you shouldn't be doing church cleanup. You shouldn't be have to, you know, I'm a servant just like I'm a leader. If I'm a leader, I'm serving. If I'm not serving, I'm not a leader. We're not leaders if we don't serve. If we can't get down and get our hands dirty like Jesus, our ministry's worldly compared, because he was getting down in his hand. He took out his outer garment. Remember in John 13, his outer spirit, it's symbolic. He took out his identity, his garment would be like his identity. He just took it off, right? And he got down on his knees, wrapped a towel on his waist, and he did what nobody else would do. He washed the dirty feet of his disciples. Now that's leadership. That's leadership. He came to serve and not to serve. He modeled true leadership. I want to tell you, serving, it's the life force of a Christian. Serving is your life force. I'm going to do a message on that. Your life force. Listen, we were made on purpose for a purpose. What's this purpose? The kingdom. Now say with me, I have a priority. You just said you had a purpose. Now you said you have a priority. Point number two, here's your priority. your highest priority. Your highest priority is to serve the progress and the interest of the kingdom of God. Whatever is first in your life is called a priority. And I want to tell you, everything flows from your priority. Think about it. If your job is your priority, well, then everything is going to be kind of centered around your job, your time and your energy, right? If your family is your priority, if your family takes priority over church, guess where you're going to spend your time? If your family is your priority, then your family takes precedence. If money is your priority, then all your time, your energies are going to spend in making more money. Jesus talked about his highest priority. Luke chapter 4, 43. When it was day, and now when it was day, he departed and went to a deserted place, went all by himself. The crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose, for this priority, I have been sent. In other words, Jesus said, I'm going to promote, I'm going to explain the kingdom of God to people. I'm going to explain God's way, God's will, so that it will be literally written on people's hearts. I'm going to keep explaining it so that the kingdom of God grows and expands, and I'm going to keep explaining it so that people can live on this earth under God, but over the earth. What did I say? So that people live on this earth under God, but over the earth. 1 John chapter 4, verse 5, verse 4. For everyone born of God, what does he do? He overcomes the world. What does he mean, overcomes the world? All the problems, all the struggles, all the adversity that comes into our lives, we have the power to overcome it. That's what he's saying. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome even our faith. We are called to be overcomers over this world. Amen? But we cannot be overcomers until we learn to live under Christ. Under his government, under his ways, according to his will. And if you try to fudge it, you try to fool around with it, you're going to get into trouble. Jesus is king. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over your entire life. He's Lord over your marriage. He's Lord over your relationships. He's Lord over your job. He's Lord over your career. He's Lord over your money. He's Lord over everything. You know, if I had the opportunity to move and double my salary, I remember I had an opportunity given me. Why don't you move? We are going to put you in a high position. All you have to do is move to Calgary, and you're going to make twice as much. You're going to make as much as the manager here at the Lethbridge Station. But you know, I prayed about it. I said, and I'm a believer now. I've received Christ in my life. And I have a family I belong to. I have a church I belong to. God has plans for me. I don't just pick up and I just move. I mean, I don't even have a church to go to. I don't know anyone there. What am I doing? Was that? I'm so glad I never went. You know, people just kind of just move. And there's, because of the job, they're just gone. Well, where's the house of God you're going to go to? I mean, I'm not saying that God doesn't move you. Sometimes, you know, that's God's plan. I'm not saying that's it, but you're doing wrong if you did that. We're talking about the kingdom of God. The biggest reason that people can't live under is because they refuse to be, or sorry, the biggest reason why people can't live over is because they refuse to live under. You know? On your PowerPoint, Kevin Gerald said, living under is how you get over. What a powerful scene. Living under is how you get over. The more you live under God, the more you live over the world. The more you live in alignment with God's word, the more strength and power and blessing you will have in this life. Amen? More stable, more blessed your life will be. To get over fear, you got to live under God. To give over offense, you live under God. To live over discouragement, live under God. Right? To live over over depression, live. How does that go? Under God, right? It's getting mixed up what I say here. To overcome the world, Jesus said you got to live under God. Amen? Stay under his government. Stay under his authority, and you will overcome the world. Amen? Amen? Jesus came. Literally when he came to put us in the rightful position. And what is that? Under God and over the world. Say with me, I have a privilege. Point number three, you have a privilege. A great privilege. And here's the great privilege. Your great privilege is this. Being a part of the kingdom of heaven. Being a part of the kingdom of heaven is the greatest privilege that you have on this earth. Amen. Matthew 13, verse 44. Jesus talks about this privilege. He tells a story. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in joy went and sold all he had, and he bought that field. God's kingdom is a treasure, and being a part of it is the single greatest privilege that you and I have on this earth. Jesus says that when this man found the treasure, what did he do? Immediately he hid it. Now, why would he hide it? Because he thought, I don't want anybody to take this away from me. He says that he hid it, but then in joy, he sold all that he had in order to obtain it, right? This treasure to this man was so great, so valuable, that he said to himself, I just got to have it. I gotta have it. It is the, he looked at it, he thought, this is the most important thing I could ever have in my life. This is more valuable than anything that I could ever possess, right? Like it's too good to be true. And maybe he said, Yahoo! No, he didn't say Mountain Dew. But I believe he was saying, wow! You gotta be kidding me. This is so unbelievable. I just gotta have this treasure. And so what did he do? He loaded all his stuff in the back of his Toyota Tacoma. And he went into town and he sold everything in it. He didn't have enough. He sold the Tacoma. Half price. And he bought that field. He sold everything he had, and he bought that field. Now, let me take you back. Let me take you back to that moment. That moment in time. Maybe it was a quiet moment. Maybe it was with a group of people. Could have been in a crowd. When you discovered the treasure. Do you remember that? And you were confronted with the gospel message of God's love. And this treasure was opening up before your very eyes. And it began to dawn on you. And then the lights began to turn on. The eyes of your understanding began to be enlightened. And you saw the treasure before you. And you realized that there was actually a God in heaven who would actually send a son to die the most horrible death so that I could have all my sins forgiven. Wow. This has got to be too good to be true. That there's actually a God in heaven who sent his son to die on the cross so that I could have the hope of my salvation. Like, come on. I just got to have this. Bring it on. This is for me. I want it all. Amen? You know, it's so easy to forget about the treasure. So easy to forget about the value of the treasure that you found, isn't it? So easy. You know, this treasure is greater than anything that the world could ever give you. You know, and I believe that God's calling us back to the treasure. Can you hear him calling? Can you feel the sense of the Holy Spirit right now calling you back to the treasure? Back to the value of the treasure? He wants to expand your the eyes of your understanding to show you what the treasure is all about. Listen, the treasure is the kingdom of God. It's all about the king. It's all about his kingdom. He's calling us back. Can I ask you, are you thankful for the kingdom of God? Are you thankful for the kingdom of God? The moment, the very moment that you were born again, you entered the kingdom of God's Son. The moment you were born again, God literally extricated you from the kingdom of darkness, from the control of the devil, and he brought you, and he literally dragged you into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, the kingdom of light. And in this kingdom, this is what you received. You received the kingdom with a king to lead your life into a love relationship with the God of the universe. The moment you entered the kingdom, you received the government, the way, the will, and the word of God to live by. The moment you received Christ, you received the kingdom with a territory, a world to reach for Jesus, a great purpose to live for, so great that Jesus never called it the great mission. What did he call it? The great commission, because we're all supposed to do it together. And you receive the kingdom with citizens, a people, a place to belong to, the church. You know, and all the aspects, all these aspects of the kingdom of life are intended to be lived through the context and through the environment of the local church. The local church. And we talked about church last week. The church is not God's, is not man's idea, is it? Whose idea is the church? It's God's church, right? And it's true. You cannot be for the kingdom and not be for God's church. Right? To be kingdom-minded. Somebody said to be kingdom-minded is to be always for the church. Ephesians 1:23 says, the church you see is not peripheral to the world, but the world is peripheral to the church. Church is the most essential institution on the face of the earth. And right now, you know, the world doesn't see the value of the church. And sadly, I think neither do a lot of Christians. I don't think we value the church the way that the early believers in the New Testament valued the church. I mean, they literally gave their lives up for the church, didn't they? You know, I think about all the years that I've been pastoring and all the years I've been preaching, and I said to Karen last night, I said, I think my mind is fried. I think I've preached so much that, you know, I got to admit something. Preaching is hard. It's not an easy thing to preach. And I would say it could be easy to preach, but sometimes it's really hard to preach because you're preaching things that people don't want to hear sometimes. And I admit to you, I don't always bring the most popular messages to you, do I? I don't always bring the popular messages to people. But what I try to do is always preach kingdom truth. And even if it directly opposes what the world thinks, what the culture thinks, and what a lot of other people think. Amen? And it's really up to you whether you accept it or not. We have a choice, right? But you know, one of my signature messages, and I'll never stop talking about till the day I die, is the incredible importance and value of the church. You have to be in and a part of his church. The kingdom is the church. The church is the kingdom. You can't separate them. Amen? Verse 24, Paul said to the Ephesians, the church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts. Can you get that? It's his body. He gets up. He's getting up right now. He's speaking and he's acting, by which he fills everything with his presence. What is Paul saying? He's saying, the church is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus. Amen? I heard another pastor say, listen, if you go to the grocery store, if you go shop at the big box stores, if you go to restaurants to eat, if you go to your school, if you go to your workplace and hang around people, then why can't you go to church? Right? Why not? Come to church. Be a part of the body. Don't be outside the kingdom. Church is essential, whether the world thinks so or not. The world would love to put an end to the church. It's been trying to. But the more the world tries to put an end to church, starts to squelch the church, the stronger, more powerful the church will ever become. Amen? You cannot stop the church. It's unstoppable. It's got a powerful train of people behind it. It's a driving force in this world. Amen? The church, so vital, so important. You cannot separate the kingdom from the church. We think about what caused the early church to explode in growth and power is when it got persecuted by the government, by the Roman government, and by religious people. The more they try to put an end to it, the stronger, more powerful it grows. You look at the church in China. Powerful church. It's underground, but it is powerful. You cannot separate the church from the kingdom. You cannot separate the kingdom from the church. Amen? Amen? So easy to forget about the value of the church. You know, I thought about the struggles we had throughout COVID times, and we've gone through difficult times during COVID. You know, but I know that one of the greatest complaints that pastors have received during these COVID times is they've been criticized for the way they've handled COVID. And many pastors have gotten emails and have met with people who were just ticked off about how they handled COVID. And I just heard one pastor say, you know, it's one of the most difficult times that they've ever gone through, you know. But a pastor explained about one time he had this email. And this person said, well, I don't like the way that you've handled COVID, so I'm walking out. I'm leaving. I'm going to find another church. And then, so I guess, and this person had been there for a long time, been a part of that church, and the pastor, of course, was upset. And basically he said, well, wait a minute. He said, you're leaving? You're actually giving up your relationships and your kingdom purpose and your kingdom equity, all because you don't agree with the way we responded to COVID? And the person said, yeah, I don't like the way, you know, you could have done it better, right? And the pastor said, well, you know, really, wait a minute, you're willing to cut all the ties and just walk away over this? And the person walked away. Kind of reminds me of my 10-year-old nephew who got angry because I told him he had to get off his device. I want to say grow up. Grow up. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. You know, he says, all of you agree. No divisions. Amen? In your thinking. You want? In your thinking, go higher. Go kingdom. Amen? Go kingdom. Listen, without church, I would not be here today. Right? Without church, I wouldn't be here today. And I doubt with you would be here today. You know, I love this country. I love Canada. I mean, we invested in our lives here in Canada. We would never want to move to another country, right? We've enjoyed the freedoms that we have. But I want to tell you, I love the church even more. And you know, Karen and I, we've invested our entire life. We were born again believers. We have never not been in for the church. We've invested our life in the church, and we will do it to the day that we die. I want to tell you, I'm all in for the church. It is my highest privilege, and it's my highest priority. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I want to finish up real quick here. In this world, it's so easy to get lost. It's so easy to lose sight of who you are and what you are called to do. You know, and you think about when we, in the days of old, when you never had compasses and, you know, GPS navigational equipment, navigators of old, how would they keep on track? How would they not lose their way? You know what they did? What did they do? They focused, they looked into the universe, and they focused on the North Star. See, the North Star is called also called the Polaris or True North. So they could look up the universe at any time, any season of the year. This is the time-lapse photography. Everything around that North Star in the universe may change, right? But the North Star remains constant. In our lives, things could change. Things change. Things come into our life. We can lose our focus. We can get distracted. When everything in our life is changing, shifting, unreliable, we can always focus on our true north. Amen? Our true north. Our true north are the kingdom principles and the kingdom promises. Amen?
Amen.
Then, you know, and we think about it. It's all Jesus talked about. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God. Oh, listen. The kingdom of God is like this. Maybe you've taken your eyes off the kingdom. Maybe you got caught up in other stuff. But it's time to come back to the true north, right? To the unwavering, unchanging, uninfallible word of God. Amen? I'm almost done. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. This pandemic has caused a lot of wavering, a lot of fear in people. And like my wife says, let's be honest, COVID has, and I heard her say this to me one day, COVID has scared the pants off a lot of people. And it's true. Scattered a lot of people. I'm going to tell you, he's telling us to come back. He's telling us to come back. He's calling us back to the treasure. Back to the treasure. Back to the privilege of serving God and be a part of his kingdom. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. When you think about it, there's no greater treasure. There's nothing more important, of greater importance, of greater privilege than Jesus and his kingdom. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
In fact, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Bow your heads. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for ministering to us through your word today, Holy Spirit. I just want to talk to someone. Maybe you're watching online, maybe you're here in person. But there's an emptiness in your soul. There's an emptiness in your life. Something is missing. I want to tell you what that is. It's a personal relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. God has a priceless gift to give you, a treasure called salvation and eternal life. And you can receive this incredible, priceless gift today. But first you have to be willing to give up your own life. Give up your old life. And by saying this prayer, and when you say it with all your heart, you receive Jesus, you receive eternal life, you receive the gift of a brand new life right here on earth today by giving up and just surrendering your heart to Jesus. And if that's who you want to do that, then will you pray after me? Father God, thank you for loving me and dying on the cross to pay for all my sins. Father, today and now, I believe in you and I receive you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask. Amen and amen. If you said that prayer for the very first time, will you raise your hands? If you raise your hands, hold it up high. You said that prayer. If you said that prayer, here's what you do next. You go to the back. You walk to the back. You go to that where that light is. You walk, lounge, and Victor is there, and he'll tell you what your next faith step in your journey and your walk with God is. Amen? If you said that prayer online, will you touch that little hand, the little symbol at the bottom of the screen, and we'll connect you with someone who will tell you how you can serve Jesus in your next step with him. Amen? Amen. If you said that prayer today, welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to God's family. Welcome to a brand new life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.